Afternoon, we're going to be looking at question and answer 113 of Lord's Day 44. I invite you to turn with me in your green book of confessions, page 50. That is where we hear and see number 113, question 113. The 10th commandment, of course, is what God calls us to. It is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And question and answer 113 asks, what is God's will for us in the 10th commandment? And the answer is this, that not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. Rather, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that it shows the way of life. A way of life which is so foreign to us in our sinful estate. A way of life which directs us to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And then everything else is added to us. When we get that so frequently turned around, we think when everything is added to us, we've accomplished Your kingdom and Your righteousness. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we look again at Your glorious law, which shows the way of life, that You would speak to us with Your Spirit, convict us where we need to be changed, change us so that we may reflect the image of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we're only dealing with one question and answer of Lord's Day 44. It addresses much more than this, and hopefully next Sunday we look to get into the last two questions dealing with our approach to the law and how do we use the law and what does the law speak to us and tell us and direct us. But this evening we're considering the 10th commandment, and the call to not covet is a call to wholehearted devotion. It's dealing with a matter of your heart. And naturally, this is the realm of the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit has come to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment in its relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, some of these aspects we've looked at already. We've looked at in the Ten Commandments as we've gone through them that there's a negative thing that's forbidden and a positive activity that is appealed to. We've already heard in each commandment that the desire to kill, or the desire to steal, or the desire to commit adultery, or the desire to attack my neighbor's good name is all condemned. These desires are condemned. And the 10th commandment, we need to recognize when it forbids coveting, is not just a superfluous repetition of this commandment, but the 10th commandment keeps digging deeper and says, no, let's get to the bottom of the matter. Let's get to the heart of the matter. So think of your garden this afternoon, or think of your heart this afternoon as a garden. A garden which must continually be worked over and tilled by the law and the gospel of God. When I worked in landscaping, we would work on some really nice lawns, and they would have their grass all planted and groomed nicely, but there were weeds that would grow up. And whenever you had to dig in a part of that lawn, if you didn't watch it, it would get away from you and it would begin to grow weeds. Well, that's what we're looking at this afternoon with regard to the 10th commandment. The other commandments teach us that when you see those weeds, you have to pluck them out. You have to pull them up. You have to get them by their roots. But the 10th commandment is going deeper, and it's even looking before you see those weeds sprouting. there's something you need to do. And one thing that was particularly annoying in these beautiful lawns was a different kind of grass. It was called quack grass. And quack grass is a miserable grass because there's not a herbicide or anything that can kill it that doesn't kill the lawn. You can use Roundup, but then everything around it dies as well. But what you could do is before that seed of quack grass germinated, you could put a chemical down and it would keep that seed from germinating. It was called a pre-emergent herbicide. And if you need to know the name, I wouldn't know what the technical name of it is. But you always put it on in the spring and you hope that it would work and you wouldn't see that quack grass springing up, because that would mean it is protected for that season at least. Well, that's what the 10th commandment is talking about. Whereas the other commandments are saying, now recognize the weeds and pull them up by their roots. The 10th commandment is saying, wait a minute. Before you even allow your heart to be attracted to that, don't let those seeds, of whatever the desire may be that is contrary to God's law, don't let the seeds germinate. Don't covet. Coveting is a matter of the heart, that we need to keep our hearts secure, closed, carefully guarded by God's Word. And to do this, God's law, God's Word, calls us to forego, and it prohibits unholy inclinations. And it prescribes holy motivations. So avoid unholy inclinations and maintain holy motivations. And that's what the 10th commandment is dealing with. So as we look at that this afternoon, that's what we're going to consider. First of all, unholy inclinations. Our hearts, because of our relationship with Adam, our hearts have this inclination. If you've ever, well, maybe you haven't been lost in the bush, but apparently survivalists will say if you're lost in the bush, you need to recognize that what happens is you have an inclination, you have a natural inclination to go around obstacles, to go around trees, to go around hills, to go around rocks. You have a natural inclination to go around those obstacles on your dominant side. And that's why when people are lost in the bush without a compass, they'll typically end up walking in circles. That given enough time, they'll go around in a circle and they'll come back. Well, that's what we're dealing with in this commandment. We need to recognize there are these unholy inclinations. An inclination of the heart. And the catechism reminds us, not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in our heart. Be aware that a heart left to itself, just like that plot of grass left to itself, it's going to grow weeds. A heart left to itself is naturally going to spring up with thoughts and desires that are contrary to God's law. This is why Jeremiah 17 is so profound, as it reminds us of the character, the natural inclination, the unholy inclinations of our heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Imagine you're so sick that nobody knows what's going on in your life. You're so sick and none of the doctors or the nurses can pin down what's going on. And it's an exercise of frustration and you're overwhelmed and you just want to feel better, but you're so sick. And that's the character of our heart. There's these natural, unholy inclinations. But then Jeremiah says, who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. He knows us. He knows our inclinations. And He has taught us that out of the overflow of the heart are the issues of life. The heart must be restrained from all impurity. And so when He says, you shall not covet, He's now, look at the inclinations of your heart. Do not set your heart's desire. Don't even think about it. Don't entertain it. Don't allow your heart to relax for just a moment from following My commandments. Because in the moment you do, these unholy inclinations are going to spring up. And so what must we not set our desires on? Don't set our desires. There's a list given in this law. Your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor, your neighbor's wife, his relationships. You think of David and Bathsheba. David goes up on, and there's a beautiful woman. Never mind the beautiful women that he has in his household. But there's another. Within the family, husbands and wives, have your desires fixated and focused on them. Some of the shows today that suggest infidelity or unfaithfulness or pursuing multiple relationships. Don't go there. Don't let them be your entertainment. Don't use marriage as an experiment about compatibility. Don't allow those weeds to be planted. But it's not only husbands and wives, parents and children. Think about this in terms of your relationship. Don't desire your neighbor's relationship with their children. Recognize that God has called you to be the parent you are, and God has called you to be the children you are. And in those relationships, don't think, oh, if I had a mom or a dad like my friend, life would be so much better. Or parents or grandparents. Don't think, oh, if I had grandchildren or children like that, life could be so much better. Don't allow that desire to enter your heart. Or brothers and sisters. Your relationships. Guard them. Guard them with this call of God's law. Don't entertain thoughts or desires that are contrary to any one of God's commandments. Don't entertain them in your heart in terms of your relationships. You have been blessed with the family you have. You've been blessed with the spouses you have. You've been blessed with the children that you have and the grandchildren that you have. You've been blessed with the church that you have. Now, here is the place. Don't look over the fence as to what's going on. Serve the Lord here in the day-to-day realities. And sometimes those relationships are hard and they're broken and they're hostile. We looked at that this morning in terms of the relationship between Sarai and Hagar. See how the Lord can cause your heart to flourish in those relationships. He's the one. Make the Lord's service your desire in those relationships. But this commandment also considers not only relationships, it considers possessions. Because that's basically the two things that our hearts will envy: other relationships and others' possessions. Your neighbor's house, your neighbor's land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, anything that belongs to your neighbor. And ungodly chasing after the possessions, thinking that if I could attain a certain level of possessions, you could gain acceptance with others. Not the case. Ungodly chasing after possessions of keeping the endless quest to keeping up with the Joneses. There's an ultimate futility in that. Again, television shows that reflect the values of our societies just coming to mind. Keeping up with the Kardashians. Why bother? Is the word of the Lord. Because their end is futility and it's foolishness. Why would you waste your heart space when there's so many good things to be desiring from God? Would you give your heart to a pursuit of righteousness? To a pursuit of reading a psalm to find out what are those things that delight and bring endless delight of praise to our God. That as we've read in Psalm 37, that we will seek the Lord and we'll give our desires to Him. And we'll delight ourselves in Him and He will give you the desires. What a promise that is to help us forgo these unholy inclinations. Advertising is geared toward getting you to want something that everybody has. Unholy inclinations. Our hearts need to be guarded by them. Now here too we need to be careful. What I'm calling us to and what God's Word is calling us to is not to flee society. You can't get away from it. As soon as you think that's the case, as you look to a hermit's existence, you'll realize that you take this heart with you. Even the monks tried to outdo themselves in the perversity of their suffering that they went, because they were always dealing with the envy and the inclinations of the heart towards these to be better than somebody else. What God's law is not calling us to turn the switch of desire off and just be apathetic about everything and don't care about anything. But instead to cultivate holy motivations. Our desire for purity needs to be to counter our heart's unholy motivations. Don't let those seeds germinate, but instead sow the good seeds of holy motivations. What are those holy motivations? It's the second part of this question and answer. Rather than all those unholy inclinations, cultivate these seeds, a hatred of sin. With all my heart, I should always hate sin. It's the most positive expression of hatred that we will have. We hate food. We hate our neighbors. We hate hard circumstances. And how easily we entertain that sort of hatred. But God's Word calls us to something greater, to hate sin. Because it's displeasing to God. It's a stench in His nostrils. It's the difference between smelling food that's gone off in the refrigerator and you open and you get a whiff and you know something's not right. It's the difference between smelling that's sin, and smelling freshly baked bread and say, "Now that's encouraging. That smells good. That's a comfort smell." Cultivate the hatred of sin because it is a stench in God's nostrils. Take pleasure. Take pleasure in whatever is right. There are 9 commandments that we've just been through that tell us what is right and what is good and what is pleasing to God. Take pleasure. Pursue those pleasures. Ultimately, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Take pleasure in that love for God and love for your neighbor. Sow the seeds of holy motivations. So we're to take, as we do this, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It means what Romans 12 teaches us, not to be conformed to this world, to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Testing, putting into practice God's will so that you can see that it is good and acceptable and perfect. Change your minds of what entertains you, of what attracts you, of what your heart desires. Then you can put it to the test. Is your heart coveting those things that are right and holy and good? Sometimes we use that word covet and we think of covet in a negative way, but we can covet rightly, according to God's Word, covet people's prayers. Covet the Lord's grace. Covet the Lord's holiness. Covet the Lord's sanctification. Those are good passions and good desires to have worked out in our hearts. This is what Paul calls us to in Philippians 4. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, set your heart on these, think of these, and cultivate a positive, appropriate desire. What is our goal? What is God's goal for us in this commandment? Ultimately, it's contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment which comes from gratitude, that you know who God is, you know the situation in which He has placed you, and you know that He is in control. And the number one problem with coveting, the number one danger, is it despises God's providence. But now you see, we've come full circle. And we're right back at the first commandment. Who is your God? Who is the guarantee of your supreme good? That's what is your God. Is He the God of Scripture? Is He the true and the living God? Is He the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who knows you, loves you, and cares for you? It's not enough to remove ungodly desire. We have to do that, but we have to do more. We need to replace it with a new desire of love. Love for Him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. A love that will be expressed in our relationships with our neighbor and with all of our possessions. This is why the psalmist reminds us again, as does Jeremiah, what is the privilege of knowing God, of being content in Him? Is the generosity of those who are godly, who use their possessions not for their own heart's satisfaction, but to serve the Lord and to serve their neighbor. Don't hold on to it. Let it go. And be a garden that reflects the fragrance and the beauty and the splendor and the ownership and the majesty of our God. That's the 10th commandment. A commandment which calls us to consider the matter of your heart, to dig down deep and have it exposed, the unholy inclinations and the holy motivations that reflect who your God is. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we recognize the blessing of having our hearts known.